Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In what period and at what place was this first begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? This is Shonaka Goswami asking Suta Goswami questions. Purport. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the special contribution of Srila Vyasadeva, there are so many inquiries by the learned Shonaka Muni. It was known to them that Srila Vyasadeva had already explained the text of the Vedas in various ways up to the Mahabharata for the understanding of less intelligent women, Shudras, and fallen members of the family of twice-born men. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all of them because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. So the inquiries are very intelligent and relevant. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavibho Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kasmin yuge paritteyam stani va kena hetuna kuta sanjotita krishna kritavan sanghitam muni. In what period and at what place was this first begun, and why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? It's a beautiful name, that Krishna Dvaipayana. Dvaip means an island, and Vyasadeva was born on an island. His father was Parashuram, is that right? Parashamuni, that's right. So Vyasadeva was born on an island, and he was the empowered incarnation of Krishna to write this literature. And if we look at this through the eyes of a literature, it's quite wonderful how this first canto is compiled, because Vyasadeva is writing in the third person. Who did English grammar at school? Yes, so what is the third person? Is when they are the author, but they're writing he. So he's Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. He's not writing I, he's writing this Vyasadeva. So this is called writing in the third person. He doesn't use the I, he uses the he. And the wonder of it is that he does the introduction, he sets the scene, the great sages sit down, and within this question and answer period, right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there's a story of how the Bhagavatam came to be. And this is the question here, that how has this Bhagavatam come about? Because we know that Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedas and all the Mahabharata and all the other literature. So how has this Srimad Bhagavatam come about? So this whole story up until the middle of the seventh chapter explains how Narada Muni came. Vyasadeva was feeling morose, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni instructed him to write more directly about Krishna, Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, Krishna's incarnations. So the Bhagavatam is this wonderful subject matter. And from the seventh canto onwards is Sukadeva's Mahabharata. It's a mini Mahabharata, which is mentioned here. Mahabharata's 100,000 verses. Hare Krishna.
Please put your mobile phones on silent.
So the Bhagavatam, then this next 19 minus 7, 12, right? So the next 11 and a half chapters is like Mahabharata Leela, which leads up to Abhimanyu being protected in the womb, Parikshit being protected in the womb of Uttara, and then Parikshit Maharaj is born. And then this whole story of how Parikshit Maharaj is cursed by the Brahmin, and he's goes to the bank of the Ganges, he asks all the sages and yogis and munis to come. He's asking, what should I do? Now I'm going to die. What should I do? I've got 7 days. Who can tell me what can I do? All the sages are there. And there's another sub-story that we don't hear about in the Bhagavatam, that the sages are all offering different opinions. You should do yoga, meditation, you should withdraw your pranayama, and you should do all this stuff. And then right at the beginning, right at the very end of the first canto, the last chapter, Shukadeva Goswami enters the assembly, 16-year-old boy, naked, and everyone realizes by his physiognomy, by the way he looks, just by looking at him, they knew, this is the most advanced person here. Even his own father is in the assembly, Vyasadeva, Dwaipayan Vyas, the compiler of the Vedas. But he was not the person to speak Bhagavatam to Parikit. Even Narada Muni is there, Vyasadeva's father, Vyasadeva's guru, sorry. But when Shukadeva Goswami, just 16-year-old boy, walks into the assembly of the sages, they know. It's written on the, what is that? Written on destiny, what did they say? It's written on the in the stone, written on stone or written in the sky, that this is the person to speak Bhagavatam. When I was a young 14-year-old, 15-year-old, well, up to 17, I worked in a bookshop, second-hand bookshop, very big bookshop. After school, I would go there and work 1 hour, and they'd give me some money. Very nice. So in the religious section was just a little, there was every type of book you could imagine in this shop. And there's this little shelf, mysticism. And it was just past where I go to have my tea break. Sometimes I would work Saturdays, long day. So the Bhagavatam was there on the shelf. And I used to pick up the book and look at this picture every time. And the amount of times I looked at this picture and opened the book and tried to read it, but I couldn't read one word. I couldn't even make out the or and. It was just a complete mystery to me. I had no qualification at the time to read even one word, which is interesting because at the end of the Bhagavatam, there's a glorification of the Bhagavatam, in the very last chapter before the final chapter. And Prabhupada's famous for saying if you distribute the book, if they just read one word, they get benefit. And in the that thing that Prabhupada says is from the Bhagavatam itself. There's a verse that says if they just read one word of this Bhagavatam, they get so much benefit. one word. So my point was, looking at this picture of Sukadeva Goswami, he's obviously naked. Parikit Maharaj has just got kopins on, and the sages, they're all sitting there. It's one of the most beautiful pictures in ISKCON, would you agree? In our lineage of art. Go back to my point then. At the beginning of the second canto, right at the beginning, what is the first line? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then the Bhagavatam kind of restarts. It's a new beginning. This whole first canto has just been a prelude, the build-up, how the Bhagavatam came to be, the first three opening verses, which are like the essence. Prabhupada said that the whole philosophy of Bhagavatam is in these three verses. And all devotees should know these verses off by heart. If you're coming to study, your education is very high standard at the manor, so I don't need to tell you. But these three verses are the sum and substance of the whole literature. I've got to find out where I'm going next. So, 143. I've lost my page. So, this Bhagavatam is very powerful, very wonderful. And this is the beginning of the story of how it came to be. Krishna Dvaipi and Vyas. Now, the Mahabharata is mentioned here. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet the scholars, sannyasis in Benares, they know the Vedas like anything, Vedanta Sutra, and they chastised Mahaprabhu. They said, Lord Chaitanya, you're a sannyasi. You're meant to study Vedanta. Why are you doing all this singing and dancing, worshipping Krishna? So it's a long story, I won't tell it. But in that, when he is explaining to them the direct meaning of the Vedanta Sutra and how the Vedas should not be interpreted, they should be accepted as they are. Sometimes when we read, we filter it through what we're supposed to think. That's a kind of common thing when we're young devotees, like we're supposed to think like this. But we should try to let it filter into our pure intelligence and try to understand it for ourselves. So he's telling them, don't interpret the Vedas. Shankaracharya's interpreting the Vedas, and therefore you have got the wrong idea. And he quotes this verse, Vede Ramayana Chaiva, Purane Bharataitata, Adavanta Chamajecha, Hari Savatra Giyate, that all the Vedas, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, there is nothing but the glorification of Hari. That's what Krishna tells Arjuna. He says, one who knows the purpose of the Vedas, right, in that second chapter, is it? One who knows the purpose of the Vedas, he sees beyond the flowery words of the Vedas, the Karmakanda, the thousands and millions of rituals to reach the heavenly planets, to be pious, to avoid sin. And in the 11th canto, Krishna tells Uddhava, he says, I'm the only person who knows the Vedas. What's the purpose of the Vedas? Some say this, some say that. But I'm the only real person who knows. And that Uddhava Gita is quite amazing. And when you read it, you realize how wonderful is Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is much smaller and shorter. And Krishna has summarized everything he told to Uddhava. He said it to Arjuna in a shorter way. So like 100 verses there can be like one verse to Arjuna. Krishna says, Vedanta Krit Eva Vid Eva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas, and I am the goal of the Vedas. Huh? So the goal of life is to be Krishna conscious, to love Krishna with spontaneous feeling, great happiness and ecstasy. But we are stuck in this material world, and we are identifying with matter. We're identifying with the body. Body is made of matter, and all our family, children, society, bank balance, possessions, identity, our duty, occupational duties, these are all temporary. And if we are meditating on them 24 hours a day, then we will again have to take birth again and again. Prabhupada says, what is the point of becoming the president of one country if the next life you become a cockroach? What is the value? Just like I think there's some president of America at the present time. He may become a cockroach or a rat in one of his properties in his next life. But I don't know. It's possible. So what is the point of this human life? It's to get benefit. Therefore, 24 hours a day, we have 1 hour Bhagavatam class, or 20 minutes. I speak for 20 minutes. And then we may chant 16 rounds. And we may come to the temple, see the deity. And we may engage in one of these five things. So the whole point of Krishna consciousness is not to worry about all the billions of little intricate rituals in the Vedic literature. Sometimes you meet devotees, especially in Vrindavan, they start telling you all these Karmakanda things. If you go on a Tuesday and you do a half-day fast and you offer some cloth at this temple and then go to the river and bathe and put your tilak on in a, you know, chant all these mantras, you know, and you get confused. I was a young devotee. I was so confused because so many different people were telling me these things. Do this on a certain day. Do parikram on this day and you get this benefit. But the real benefit is to be Krishna conscious. And their processes of Krishna consciousness is explained by God himself. And these five features are satsanga, nama kirtan, bhagavat shravan, maturavas, shri mutira sevanam. Lord Chaitanya says these five features have extraordinary potency. And if you just become attached to just one of them, you'll gain the supreme destination, or you'll reach perfection. This, association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity and living in a holy place. So we're doing these five things every day at Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's a dham, it's a holy place. And the matter, this body that we're in, is being destroyed and recreated at every moment. Krishna gives two examples in the 11th canto, very nice examples. He says, if you see a lamp, you think this is the light of the lamp. But Krishna says, no, this is foolish. Because at every moment, the wick is being destroyed, the ghee is being consumed, and there is consumption and destruction at every moment. So similarly, he says, there's a river. You come to a river, you see, here is the water of the river. But Krishna says, no, the water is moving at every moment. There is no, it's changing. So imperceptibly, our body is dying and getting older. And time is imperceptible. Therefore, we think everything is all right. And we divert our attention to so many subject matters. Just like the materialists, they're working very hard. It's funny, the material world, how Krishna's, he says that he fulfills all desires. Now, when I was young, I got into this band. You know, when you grow up, you get into music. Someone gives you a record and it changes your life and you go in a certain direction. Your karma comes and someone gave me this record. I was like, wow. So I became obsessed with this band and I wanted to buy all their records and with my pocket money every Saturday. And I would order, go to the list, order, build up my collection. Every single thing. I wanted to know everything about them, their pastimes, their names, their forms, their qualities, right there. Everything. I have posters on the wall in my bedroom. Typical teenage life, right? So, the thing is, in them days, pre-digital age, you want to watch a movie or a video of this, of your favorite band, you can get maybe one video, maybe two, right? So, and you're like, oh, I wish I could see this concert that happened in 1971 that I read about, right? So now, with a mystical thing called the internet, with just a couple of clicks and a tap on the keyboard, you can see everything and anything from anywhere and any time. It's like mystical power. The yogis, they had mystical power that they could see and hear a distant place. They're sitting in Varanasi and they could hear what's going on in somewhere like this. So now we can do that. It's a type of mystical power. And if you want to fulfill your desires, then it's becoming more and more easy. It's more and more complicated. So we in Krishna Consciousness, or Krishna Consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's movement, we're trying everything just to get people to hear about Krishna. And it's not so easy. I know there's like, say, 100 people watch on the internet, the morning class at the manor. Even that is not so easy. Because you have to take, if you're married, you have to take the children to school and all these things. It's so difficult. So while you're here in the ashram, you just walk down the stairs and you engage in shravanam, kirtanam. This is extremely beneficial for you. No matter, even if you do it for one day. At the end of this first canto, Narada Muni says that if you serve the absolute truth just for a few days, you get firm and fixed intelligence to understand that absolute truth, and you can give up the deplorable material worlds and attain to the spiritual realm. And this is our idea. This is what Krishna consciousness is about. It's about going back to Godhead, and this hearing is the medicine, right? Who's had taken medicine that worked? Anyone taken medicine that worked from the doctor? Yeah, and it worked, right? You got better. Do you know how the medicine worked? No. So the medicine is not dependent on his knowing how it works or not work, how it functions, or how it kills bacteria and heals or whatever, right? So the holy name is like that. The hearing of Krishna Katha and hearing of the holy name is the same thing. You may not know it. You don't really know. We don't know what's going on. But still, if we do it, it'll work. You see? Just like fire. If you touch it, child touches fire, he'll get burnt. He doesn't know. So we're in ignorance. We're in the darkest ignorance because we're identifying with this body. Yasya samohito jiva atmanam kavayo vidu. Yaya samohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropimanate natam tatkritam chabit pajate. We are superior energy, we are consciousness. But simply because we're identifying with matter, thinking I'm a product of this material world, our life is going on in ignorance. And the materialists, they're like this, blind. They've fallen into a ditch, and everything they do to try to alleviate their suffering just makes it worse. Just like an insect in a spider's web. They're struggling, struggling, struggling. There is no material solution to our material problems. The only thing is a spiritual, spiritual life. Srimad Bhagavatam is the solution. Stani Stita. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not necessary that you become a sannyasi or a yogi or live in the Himalayas or live in the ashram for your whole life. That's not what Bhagavatam says. Bhagavatam says, Stane stita shutikatam, tanuvan manobhya. You stay in your position. You can be president, you can be a doctor, you can be a bricklayer. But you have to hear Bhagavatam. And the prachetas, these yogis who went underwater, performed austerities, they had, Lord came to them at the end. And they said, oh Lord, whatever karma we have, how many other lifetimes we have to go through in this world, we pray that we never cease from hearing about you, basically, paraphrasing. So we may be going through a divorce, we may be sick, we may be upset, we may be dying, we may be happy, but we should always hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And some devotees like to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Some devotees like to go to classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should get to know Srimad Bhagavatam more and more and more and more. And it's very nice. When Narada Muni initiates Dhruva Maharaj, he says, as well as chanting your mantra three times a day, you should also meditate on the avatars, on the incarnations of God. Svechavatara charite achinchanija maya ya karishyati uttama shloke tadhyanam tadhyayad dadanam katam. This hearing about the avatars of Krishna, Vamana, Varaha, Nasinga, Matsya, Kurma, Parasha, Buddha, Kalki, Krishna Balaram, Ram, Lord Ram, they purify us. You see? Imperceptibly. Imperceptibly. So we read Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna, and we gradually get purified. And when we get to the 10th canto, we read about Krishna, his pastimes in Vrindavan, pastimes with his devotees, his killing the demons. And we find it very attractive and very nice. Therefore, when we go deeper, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, you just become attached to Krishna, fix up your intelligence in Krishna, and you will make progress. So our basic process is to chant Hare Krishna, worship Radha Krishna deity, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Very simple. And live in the association of devotees in a purified atmosphere. It's very, very simple. Just do these five things, and you watch how much progress you make. Don't make your progress over 10 years. Make it over your lifetime. Don't judge it on, oh, I've been around 20 years and I've still got material desire. Think about your whole life. Prabhupada said, you just give one life to this process. Shravanam kirtanam stani stita. The most important thing, and this is the hard thing for the karmis, materialists who want to be spiritual, is they speculate. God is this, God is light, God is energy, God is love. This is the very difficult thing to give up. Because the human intelligence, the human mind, can only get as far as Brahman. You cannot find Krishna by your mental speculation. It's impossible. This ascending process can only get you as far as the light of God, the non-differentiate, non-dual, non-material aspect. Brahmano hi pratistaham. So the whole world want to be spiritual. They have all their yoga retreats and this and this and that. But they're all Brahmavadis. They're all impersonal because they haven't heard from the devotees. This devotional process is descending. So you hear Bhagavad Gita, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and then you understand. So this person who understands that Krishna is the goal of life, Krishna is the source of the Brahman, he can take to this hearing of Bhagavatam. He can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and become a devotee. But it's not so easy. It's not so easy. Therefore, jeev jago, goda chanda, bolo, kota nidra, jayo mayo, pish, louder? So that all the people have been bitten, bitten by the snake of time, no. They're under the spell of the witch Maya. And they are so destroying their lives, wasting the human life. If we compare the human life to all the species of life, the human life is like, it's like a luxury model. You know, compared to the ant or the bird or the fish or the giraffe, the human life is extremely wonderful because you can understand spiritual philosophy. You can understand, you can chant Hare Krishna. So if we don't use our human life for spiritual progress, then we are wasting. And you see the materialists, they end up in so many embarrassing situations trying to enjoy sense gratification to their fullest extent. But you see, even the most intelligent and advanced person, he becomes very unhappy. And even the most foolish, ignorant person, they become very happy sometimes. So endeavoring for material happiness is a waste of time. Tate nukampa manushikshamana. Best to just tolerate your own desires for enjoyment, tolerate the sufferings and happiness, and just remain fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, this is a sum and substance of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one who knows the Vedas, he can read Mahabharat because he's Krishna conscious, then he'll appreciate Krishna's pastimes with his devotees. He'll read any literature, Vaishnava literature, Vedic literature, and he'll see Krishna, even in the pages of Vedanta Sutra, Raso Vaisa, Janmadyasya Yataha. Devotee understands. Only the Vedas is singing the glories of Krishna. He's the supreme, absolute, most beautiful person, the source of all incarnations. He's Swayam Bhagavan. He's a coward boy. He's wandering in the forest of Vrindavan, decorating the land with his lotus footprints, playing on his flute. When he plays on his flute, what happens? The water becomes solid like stone, and the stones melt like water, because it's so much ecstasy. So much love is there. Love is the highest emotion, in a way. It's an emotion, bhava. So in the spiritual world, we're very happy because we are always diving and swimming in the love for Krishna. And that same Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, he has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, just chant Hare Krishna. You're a servant of Krishna. Krishna's the Lord of your heart. And you're wasting your life every day. Don't waste your life. Worship Krishna. He's your best friend. Bhaktaram Suridam Savabhutanam. He's your real friend. Permanently. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Namo Mahabhadanyaya, he's the most merciful. And he taught Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of all the Vedas. Jai, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Bhakti Vedanta Manadam ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. So, on the calendar it says breakfast is 9:58. Are we following that? Does anyone know? Yes, we are. Oh, there's an Ekadasi breakfast? At normal time? Ah, far out. Great. Grains. Oh, I'll take that home and eat it at 10 o'clock. So, we have time then. Anybody have any points of discussion or questions? I'm just going to... Inquiries are very intelligent and relevant. The last point I want to make before. Tadvini pranipatena parisa prakshena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam. So this process of asking questions, you know, sometimes we've been around 5 years and we think, oh, I know everything. And we may get initiated by a guru and that's it. But this approaching the guru with questions, that's an eternal process. You should never give it up. Bhagavatam's full of devotees who are asking questions, but they know the answers. But the questions facilitate the talks of Krishna, Krishna Katha. And when there's talks of Krishna, you remember Krishna. And when you remember Krishna, you're free. You're free. So we should write down questions. We should keep questions. And when we have our Gurudev, our Shiksha Guru, we should ask nice questions. Even if we know the answer, maybe we don't. But still, these questions and answering creates the Katamrita. Yuzmet Katamrita. And the only way to get out of the material desires, material world, is to get the Amrita, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Rasamrita. Bhakti Rasamrita. Because you cannot give up something you like so much unless you get something nicer that you like even more. So until we get the taste, intelligence is limited. Vishaya vinivartante nirahasya dehinam rasopyasya rasovajam. We have to get the higher taste. And we get this if we chant and hear as much as possible. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If anyone has any questions or points or comments, etc.